To finish up Kovav and hopefully maybe even do Kovzayim or whatever we have to say about Kovzayim, it's also a small siman. Essentially, the let's finish up Sif Aleph first and then we'll move on to Sif Beis, because Sif Beis is really, it's almost like puzzling why it's a separate siman. Meaning Kovzayim is really just a continuation of Sif Beis. It's that one leads right into the other. There are two simple pshat questions, one on the Mechaber and one on Ramah, that each need to be dealt with on their own level. The Mechaber paskins in Simon Tzadi Bey's Sif Dalet pretty clearly that Eshel Sof the Mutter, right? The Mechaber writes in Simon Tzadi Bey's Kizayis Chayot Shnubu B'chatir Chavein Bashish M'lovato Ben Esra that V'ya V'achar Kach Bishla Im Acheros Ein Tzorech El Shishim Kidei that Kizayis. But then the typo here, so we look in the Chaber itself, and then he says V'oz Afilu Chaticha Atzma Chazeres Lios Mutaris, that when you have Shishim Kidei that Kizayis, then the original chaticha goes back to being mutter. That's just a fancy way of saying, not a fancy way of saying, a very simple way of saying, eshel sof to mutter. So that's an absolute pellet. So much so that the Aruch HaShulchan says, yeah, because the Mechaber over there was just quoting the Lashon HaTur. Because a lot of times the Mechaber is just working off of the Tur, so he'll just quote the Lashon HaTur. So since the Tur holds eshel sof to mutter, and the Tur writes that over there, so he's just quoting the Lashon HaTur. That's a pella of the Mechaber. He quotes the Lashon of the Torah when he agrees with the Torah, but he's not going to quote the Lashon of the Torah when he disagrees with the Torah. Very, very difficult to assume that that's what was going on. The place he has a much fancier teretz, the Shach and the Taz both wonder about the Stira. And if you look at the Shach, in Sipkat and Yod Aleph over there, so the Shach says, Tema, the Kamadri, some Kabbal tells him that Chaticha Atma meant to be Surah, the Visha Yisra Shabbat, Eno Niflam, Menel Gavri, Ay, doesn't the Mechaber hold that Shul Sato, Asur, Varach, Agosham, Hayden Shem, Tvarm, Sosum, Zeh, Zeh, and the Rabbah seems to assume that it's a Stira, Ukadeshul Yisra, Tvarm, Zeh, Zeh, Kolkach, Beferush, and in order that it shouldn't be such an explicit stira, very interesting formulation of the Shach. He doesn't say, v'yesh b'yashev, the Teretz is. He says, in order not to make it that the Mechaber is a blatant, open, ridiculous level stira, where like you can't even make heads or tails of it, near the yashev, the mashkos kamro tzolomer, you gotta say that there's something dachuk in what he says over here in Simon Tzadi Beis. Essentially, what the Shach says is that the Mechaber really holds it remains Aser. In Simon Tzadi Beis, he's talking about where it then got mixed in with other Chatichos. And once it got mixed in with other Chatichos, so then you can be Maker, you can assume it's Batel Barov. So even though Eshel Softo Aser, and over here you have a case of Eshel Softo, but if that original Chaticha then got mixed in with a bunch of other kosher Chatichos, so then you're going to assume Batel Barov. Now, Mikivega writes that if the Chaticha was removed but then fell into a bunch of other Chatichos, Yavesh b'yavesh, you don't need shishim connected that chaticha. You only need shishim connected the original iser that's balua, and you only need rov against that chaticha. Normally, he says you need shishim because of the concern that you're going to cook them together, and once you cook them together, then you need shishim to even batal tam. But over here, you don't need shishim because it's already been cooked, and the bliya is mostly gone already. Remember, the whole yisod of the Rashba is that most of the bliya goes out, but not all of it. There's still something there. There's still that tam kolosh. So you're not going to need shishim since most of the bliya is gone. However, Yor HaShulchan seems to say otherwise. Yor HaShulchan writes, V'hinei b'tur shulchan aruch enum vor lehedya eich adin kishinok lachaticha od pam acheres l'kedeva. What happens if that chaticha viter falls into another kedeva? Imat v'chidun shishim negedi isra v'lua kibin v'fila kodemes. Oh look, do you again need shishim connected the original isra? Or I mean, to what extent, meaning he's bothered by it, again, it's exactly the Shulchan Kiveger. To what extent do we say, come on, most of the Bleos are gone already? Most of the Bliyas left the first time. So whatever's left in that Chaticha, even though Hashem sent Aser, but yeah, but it's only a time of Kalosh of Bliyah that's in there in the first place. So I still need Shishim connected the entire original Bliyah. Because that which Asarno Chaticha, Mipay HaSafik, Mi Lo Neser, Kedera Charis Bishil Safik, that granted, I have enough of the Safik that maybe there's some level of Tam that's left in the original Chaticha, but because of that Safik, I'm not going to Asar another Kedera. But he writes, Hobnam, the Dibri Arash, from Shur Spice, the other head, the Gabi Kedera Charis, the Seres, the Gabi Hakki Chalam, the Zelda Sers, the Gabi Charis, the Ashki Ish, the Chalik, the Gabi Kalakim, the Arash, the Sobakim, the Gabi Chalis, the Gumarakim, Kachalakha. So it comes along the Rosh Hashanah and he says, "Boom, gotta be mad." He says, "From the Rashba, it sounds like you need to be mad." So that is issue number one. The fundamental question number one in Siman Kufav is that the Mechaber in Siman Kufav is directly Soser, but the Mechaber says in Siman Tzadik Beis. So you got to work around. You got to figure it out. Either you make a Mechaber like the Shach made, or you say something like the Rosh Hashanah said, which is that it's. That he's just borrowing the Lashon HaTorah, but he doesn't have the Leilo Sphere, right? He himself doesn't really hold that way. Very, very difficult. Once we mentioned the Shach's answer, that was from that case where it fell in with other Chatichas, so we mentioned Rebbe Kivei Eger. Rebbe Kivei Eger says, if it taka falls in with other Chatichas, then you only need Rove connected the Chaticha and Shishim connected the original Bliya. And then we discussed that if you cook it with other Chatichas, do you need Shishim connected the original Bliya or not? So we said, okay, that seems to be a machlokas, right? Rebbe Kivei Eger doesn't think you should need Shishim connected the original Bliya because the Bliya is mostly gone. But the Aruch HaShulchan says, yeah, you still need Shishim connected the original Bliya, even though the reality is that the Bliya is more than likely mostly gone. I'm sorry, they need Shishim. Right, against all Chatich. No, sorry. The Orchat Rebbe Kivager said, you're right. Rebbe Kivager said you need Shishim Kenegat the Bliya and Rov Kenegat the Chaticha. And the Orchat Shulchan is saying, and yes, you need Shishim Kenegat the original Bliya, even though most of the original Bliya is gone. Right, it's not necessarily. But the Aruch HaShulchan is saying that you need Shishim connected to the original Bliya. You might have argued you don't even need that. That you don't even need Shishim. But Rebbe Kivager was talking about where Shabbos Biyavish, where it's not been mixed together, it hasn't yet been cooked together. Aruch HaShulchan is saying, if it's cooked together, you need Shishim connected to the original Bliya, even though there could have been a very strong argument that you don't even need Shishim connected to the original Bliya. Right? That's a good one. Now, there's also a Pella in the Ramah over here, right? Because the Ramah writes, after the Mechaber is done over here, saying Eshul Sato Aser, the Ramah writes Bechein Iker, and that's what we paskin. The local Moshe Kassel Vel Siman Tzadik Beis Davos Chatik Mutaris. Not like the Ramah was the first one to call out the Mechaber on the Stira. Says not like the Mechaber that said Siman Tzadik Beis where he said Eshul Sato Mutar. But Bechein Iker, what he writes over here, that Eshul Sato is Aser. Now the next comment of the Ramah was. Meaning, Eshel Sotah Aser has no nafka meaning. Because anyway, we pass on Chana. So it's irrelevant. Meaning, the whole nafka meaning of Eshel Sotah Aser is to make a chiluk between the Dabar Lach and the Dabar Yavish. Between the Dabar Mislach Lach and the Dabar Yavish Biyavish. But if you're anyway to say Chanan, Ramah says, then it doesn't really make a difference. So that's a little bit of a pillow in the Ramah. Then he says, B'chei Nidker, that Eshel is Sokta Aser. And then he says, but since we pass him Chanan, there's no after me at all, because the entire Machlokas is really only relevant if you don't say Chanan. So if there's no nafkamina, so what's your B'chei Nidker? Meaning, if it doesn't have a nafkamina la'alacha, then what's the B'chei Nidker going to be? The simple answer might have been that not all parentheses in the Shulchan Aruch are the Ramah. Right, it doesn't say Haggad before that, but it seems that this actually is the Ramah. The Prima Gadim, Sifseidas, of Kratin Beis, asks this Kasha. So if he asks this Kasha, presumably it's because he assumes that it actually is the Ramah. The Prima Gadim, Sif Kratin Beis, if you take a look, he asks this very Kasha. So I saw in the Megillah Sefer that the Megillah Sefer wants to. The metarets the following. If a kvela hasn't tasted it, the Rashba would hold that it's still asumida raisa. Right? So the Ramah is saying, meaning that it's asumida raisa. Chanan Bishari Surim is only the Rabban. So the Rama is saying, if you hold Chanan Bishari Surim, then it's going to be Yasir, whether it's Yavish Biyavish or Lach Bilach. But Chanan Bishari Surim is for sure the Rabban. But he learns within the Rashba, the Sefer, learns within the Rashba, that if you didn't have a Timas Kfela, then you have to assume that it's Nisadar Raisa. And even if the Kfela tasted it, and there's no recognizable time where the Rashba would hold only the Rabbanan, there still would be enough Kamina for cases that you can't say Chanan. The Prim Gadol comes up with such cases, like where there's Melech Shal Isra Atzma, which is Asur's Ad Elef, where you can, and it's not Nas Levela, since it's more than Shisha. So you come up with cases where one will apply and the other won't. So essentially what the Sefer is saying is, I'll tell you two Nafkamines. Nafkamine number one is that if a Kfela didn't taste it, so according to the Efshal Sof to Asur is going to be a Daraisa, whereas Chanan is only going to be a Drabana. So Mimakim Safik Daraisa, Lechumas Sof Drabana Mekula. The other Nafkamine would be, if you can come up with a case, if you can be creative enough, as the Prim Gadol is, to come up with a case where there's not going to be Chanan, but there would still be Efshal Sakto, so that's where it's going to happen, Nafkamina, for the Ramah. So those are the two primary issues that have to be dealt with in Sif Aleph, the two major stivas, in the, one of the Mechaber, one of the Ramah. The Mechaber from Simon Kovav to Simon Sadi Beis, and the Ramah, Simon Kovav to Simon Kovav, from one comment to the next, seems like a stiva. Now, Sif Beis, in Sif Beis, the Torah tells us that you have a Katicha that has Cheva, and there's Shishim Kenevi that Cheva. So you just got to be careful how you take things out of the pot, right? We started talking about this yesterday. Can't take anything out of the pot while the Cheva is still there. If you take the other contents out first, so you're maybe lessening the ratio to less than 60:1. And if it's still hot, it's still boiling, so less than 60:1, now it's going to create Isser. You're not going to have Shishim connected to Cheva, but it's going to ask whatever you leave behind. And if you take the chaylev out first while it's still hot, the chaticha with the chaylev is going to become asr. Why didn't it become asr anyway? So the Shachar Taz explained that it's not already asr because it first got cooked together with the rest of the contents in the pot. So the chaylev is spreading evenly. Meaning, had it been cooked separately first and then now that's going to be asr anyway because all the bleo spread into that chaticha. But since it first got, you put it in the pot with the rest of the chalav, then you turn on the fire, so it was all cooking evenly, so it was not already asr. But then when you take it out hot from the rest of the pot, now it's going to be cooking evenly, now it's going to be cooking unevenly into this chaticha. The shach is just bothered and says, I don't understand how there could not have already been bleos that transfer from the chalav to the chaticha before you ever put it in the pot, because you're not allowed to put a chaticha of basr into a pot of chalav unless you did melicha first. And Maliach, Harei Kroseach. So Maliach is Kroseach. You must have salted that piece of meat with the Cheva. If you salted that piece of meat with the Cheva, then you already have a Bliya in that Chatifa. The Shach discusses, why don't we assume that already must have had Malicha, which would have already transferred the town from the Cheva to the rest of the Chatifa. Okay, so it comes up with whatever Teretz you got to come up with. You got to come up with some sort of Teretz as to why either Malicha was allowed not to happen, or Malicha happened and they already took care of it, and somehow the Bleos didn't transfer. You got to come up with something, but that's the difficulty. That's the difficulty that the Shach raises. And we were just talking yesterday, we closed yesterday by discussing about a fly falling in the soup, assuming that a fly is nosen tam l'shvach, and not nosen tam l'kav, which some are machmir, that a fly is nosen tam l'shvach, and maybe there's a raya from Haman or Rasha, right? So then how you remove a fly from the soup may be relevant to this. Not just maybe relevant to this, but this is what leads us directly right into Simen Kuf Zayin. So let's start Simen Kuf Zayin. Again, Simen Kuf Zayin is really just a continuation of Kuf Sif Beis, where if you have a pot of food, something non-kosher, and the shish levat le'isr, don't follow your instinct, is essentially what the halacha is. And you see something, oh no, tray fell in, what do? You take it out, right? So the Shulchan says, don't do that, because rather, just be patient. Wait for everything to cool down, and then you start moving things around. Don't start moving things around when they're hot, right? That's essentially what the Shulchan Aruch told us to do. The instinct, of course, is to try to take it out. Sometimes our instincts get us into bigger trouble than, right, someone actually turns on a light and shines. Right, the instinct, Oh no, and they turn it off. Right? You're not supposed to follow your instincts all the time. Or like our famous Betty Crocker case, which we'll keep coming back to. Keep telling him. He loves it when you tell him every time. So
I sent him this year in the exact moment. Okay. He said he should get...
He said, you're getting a lot of mileage out of me. I'm like, you bet.
The instructor is wanting you to Jake's house.
What?
On firm, you got to tell us who this guy is.
He's a really good guy. So,
he's
a really good guy. But the instinct is, oh no, I'm cooking a milchay goblin in inflation Benny Crocker. I better take this bus with Olive and trip up the rest of everything I own. So it's not always a great idea to follow your instinct. So that's essentially what the Shulchan Aruch told us. And Simchut Zayin just picks up with the machlokas among the Balei Atosos in one particular case. Shulchan Aruch talks about somebody who's cooking a bunch of eggs in a pot, and it's possible that later you're going to discover a problem with one of the eggs. Right? That's the issue. Or the other example that it gives, and it's an interesting discussion also, why two examples? Why not just give one example? But the other example is that it's a bunch of small, tiny fish, which they would cook many at a time, probably sardines or something small like that, but they're cooking hundreds of them at a time altogether. So, and then the concern is you'll find the dav tameh among them. You'll find something that's not kosher among all these teeny tiny fish. So there's a question of chachiva, and then there's a question of the other. It's interesting, the Shulchan Aruch only really deals with one of them, right? Meaning, with chachiva, shouldn't we say that since every once in a while there's a trefa egg or a trefa fish, that we should always be careful not to remove some at a time so we can ensure that there's always going to be shisha. Meaning, do the hakpada from sepet. Right? Just let it cool down. You want to make sure that you have your ratios in place just in case later you find the problem. It wasn't sepet, you knew you had a problem. But over here, it's just a potential problem that might come up later. And in order to avoid that any issue that might come from that problem, because it wasn't unheard of to find blood in an egg. It wasn't unheard of to find a trefa of fish among so many fish. We said it since Sadi Ches, just to remind ourselves that eggs are not part of the shisha. Eggs are part of the shemeth. Okay, let's say 100 of them, whatever. Why are eggs not part of the shisha? So we have two possibilities. Either because they're not all the same size, so you can't assume the universal size, or because?
You're not
going to have a barrier, or we count the shell, and we're not sure if it's polea as much as food, so we require just a little bit more. We have a bunch of different possibilities. How many possibilities do you have? Also nowadays, it's important to realize also, when we talk about blood and eggs nowadays, we're talking about different than they had. When they saw blood and eggs, they had to be concerned that it was a fertilized egg, and therefore there was a chick that was developing already in the egg. That is not our concern. Our eggs have never seen a hen. Our eggs have never been anywhere near a male, and therefore they're definitely not fertilized. So it's not from the beginning of the development of the chick, it's from some sort of internal bleeding of the chicken. It's a very different kind of problem with a huge nafkamina between them. Meaning, if it's the beginning of an embryo, the egg is usher. Machlokas with the daraisa, the rabbanim, keitah, and sugi b'sechah school of some tal. But if the blood comes from the hen, from the chicken itself, then the blood is usher, but the egg has been bemutter. All you got to do is take out the blood, right? Meaning the blood is its own isser. That's what Shulchan in Simchat Chabad we talk about the demon of the eggs. So postim, if you look at Shulchan Aruch, they give like very detailed physical signs to be able to know when it's more likely that the blood belongs to one category or the other, when it's more likely that it's a developing embryo versus more likely that it's just some bleeding. But for us, we know what it's more likely. We know what it is. It's certainly not a developing embryo. So the question of chachiva, you're cooking a bunch of eggs, you're cooking a bunch of fish. So the question is, what do I do to make sure that just in case later on I find that one of these eggs has blood in it or one of these fish are trefa, that I should avoid any problems? L'chorah, there's also a b'diavad question. Right? The b'diavad question is, what if I didn't follow the advice, the chachila? I just did what I would normally do. I cook a bunch of eggs, I take a bunch of them out of the pot, leave a bunch more in the pot, take a bunch of the fish out of the pot, leave a bunch more in the pot. I didn't always have a 16-to-1 ratio at all times. And then later I discovered one of the fish was a trifle fish. Later on, I said, so now with the evidence, I assumed that because I did wrong, I didn't that my trefa fish or my trefa egg was in the pot with less than shishim, and therefore everything's going to be aser. So how do we handle that with the evidence? So the Balei Tosfos discuss how we take on this case. So Mechaber again only talks about the lechachila case. And Mechaber says, I'm a vashel beitzim harvei b'klipasam lo yotzim me'amayim shemspashadem lo yotziyom me'amayim shemspashadem ad sheitztanenu o yitin le'amayim tzodnum l'tzadnum. You need to cool down before you take anything out. V'achar kach yotziyom misham v'chashinon shema yimtza v'atzmei nefrolach. There might be a developing chicken, one of them v'imayim otzim me'am kodem sheitztanenu, and if you take it out before it cools down shema yisim sheres osu sheish v'afrolach ima achronos v'yisol sartan. Right, that's the concern that you're going to end up not having shishim. So the Chabur only talks about the lechachila case. So you see that something which is batel lechora can be chozav yosa. Right, one might have thought otherwise. Meaning, at some point it was cooking with shishim and it became batel. Right, and yet we're assuming from all this discussion that if at any point you change the ratio, Inviter has the ability to now answer everything that's there. One might have thought whatever taste it gave out originally is already bata. Meaning whatever time it had to give, it gave. And that time became bata. So the Gra in Sifkat and Aleph says that Apal Kaf Shikavar Nis Bata, right? The Gra is sensitive to this. Apal Kaf Shikavar Nis Bata, Choser Menes. Moshkos Pesopar Gain to Chumas, Kashem Shabuk, Allah Fakhias Bechim Ka. Meaning essentially it's constantly giving out the deals. It's constantly giving out the deals. So we don't assume that the Bliya was a one-time thing and that's enough. But the Kivekir Bas Mechala praises a Shaila in Lumbus that we've discussed already. That's Kedai the Chazar over here. And the Kivekir raises a Shaila as follows. That why don't we say that things should never be bought for the Shisha? Because the Isser is constantly giving out Bliyos, and it's always absorbing Bliyos of Heter, and each time it absorbs Bliyos Shel Heter, it will then come out the Isser, because it's not Sinevela. Meaning, I have a Dover Asr, I have an Asr egg, an Asr fish, cooking, a tray of fish cooking with a bunch of other fish. So there are Bliyos going back and forth, right? So now, Bliyos of Heter go into the tray of fish, just like Bliyos of Isser leave the tray of fish. As soon as those Bliyos of Heter come into the tray of fish, they become Asr. Chanan, Shari, Sur, Ramah, they become Asr. So now, those Bliyos come out again, because it's a constant transversal, constantly coming in and out, in and out. It's not a one-time thing. The Rav says, even though it was already Batel, it's closer to Nasai. So why don't I say that? There's no such thing as Bithel. Obviously, you can't say there's no such thing as Bithel, right? He's not asking if there shouldn't be such thing as Bithel. He's saying, but how does Bithel work? What are the mechanics of Bithel? So remember what the answer was. What? The sofalus bashin is another terminology, probably the better terminology is that it's hakol makusha. Right? And it's all together. Meaning the bios are all connected together. So we don't say chozer yosa. That it's one event of cooking where we assume that the bios are, meaning if it were a separate event, then in a chinam, if I were to remove the fish and it had some heter in it, now when I put it back in, so now in a chinam I have to measure against all of the bios that it has inside it. But when it's a whole kusha, when it's all one act of cooking, it's all considered to be together. So that's the only way bit of the shishim can work. So anyway, so the Mechaber discusses the chatila. He discusses what should you do with the chatila in order to avoid this problem. He does not discuss the yet. What if I actually took them out hot? So the Taz quotes, the Taz of here quotes, a short Taz. The Torah's Chatz is called Luna, Tiktik, with the low cost of a shulchan or dealing low as a cave, aser. This is from the fact that it must be that the diabol is not a problem. If the diabol was a problem also, then he wouldn't just tell me what to do with the diabol. So it must be that the diabol is going to be mutter, like the rabbi. Now there is a minhag that many women have to cook three eggs at a time, just in case one of them is straight, and that way it will be batel in the others. The problem with that minhag is, in Shulchan Aruch it says, you need shishim, right? You need shishim. So where does that minhag come from, that cooking three eggs just in case? Right? Meaning it's a little bit of a strange minhag. So what it's based on, what that minhag is based on, is probably Ramah says that if you aren't sure if the blood spot is in a bad place, and you're not sure if it's a blood spot that's a developing embryo, or it's a blood spot that's just from the chicken itself, you know, the chicken itself, then you consume chad b'tshrei b'atel, even though the egg is awesome. Then you don't need shishim b'atel. The Taz, and some of the rocks, and he explains, his min b'mino is really about the world with our eyes, and we only require shishim on the rabbanan. So the whole requirement of shishim is only drabana. You have a suffix. I don't know whether this is really a developing embryo, which could have to be a problem, or it's not a developing embryo, which is not a problem. It's just a tiny amount of blood that would be buffed anyway. So therefore, you can assume suffix drabana and kosher. So if there are two kosher eggs, you can remake them with suffix, because when you're not sure about the placement of the blood spot and whether it's an embryo or not. Lechora, if that's the explanation of why women are makbid. Have you heard this sakbada? I think Tevin Al-Bashir about it. Well, anyone who wasn't at Tevin Al-Bashir. Have you heard about the sakbada? Have you heard about this?
Yeah.
The women cook three eggs? Do it in your house? My guess is your mother, your wife don't. Is that my guess? What? No? Three eggs? Not the same thing? Okay. But I think people are. Show of hands. How many people have heard of the sakbada? Okay. So? Okay. Yeah, so except for Tevin Al-Bashir. So where does that project come from? I'm sure my grandmother, I'm sure, cooked three eggs. It was the kind of thing. My grandmother, she was pre-Beis Yaakov. You know, like, she was like the last uneducated generation of really, really frum women. Like, really, really super frum. Sat there zugging tail them all day and all night. Every time she was saying to them all day, she probably didn't know what a word of it meant, but that tail was probably more valuable than any tefillah I've ever, the best ni'ilah I ever had in Yom Kippur. You know, like, it's a certain suit of a human being that doesn't exist anymore. It's an extinct, whatever. Anyway, so I'm sure she owned it. So where does it come? So the Chora, if it comes from this, that really it's Bafel Barov, because it's a suffix, right? You're not sure what the blood spot means. Again, nowadays, we know what the blood spot means, so automatically it's going to be Bafel Barov. You don't even need to rely on suffix, right? It'll automatically be Bafel Barov, because we know that it's not a developing embryo, right? That for sure. So nowadays, there's no doubt about it. So the Chora, you shouldn't need three eggs. All you need to do is that the blood spot that has the egg that has the blood spot in it, you just need a larger egg than that. Because it only needs to be about the barone, right? You know, meaning on the possibility that it's a developing embryo, nowadays you shouldn't even need that, right? Meaning, if you have a possibility that it's a developing embryo and you're relying on something, drabanalapula, because you really only need barone, because it's min bimino, and it's only on drabana level that you need shishin, so you can rely on some drabana lapula. But if, as long as you have rogue, you don't need two other eggs to have rogue. You just need a larger egg to have rogue. So as long as the other egg is larger, you're fine. Why do they always do three eggs? Because I don't know which one's going to have the blood spot. I may put a larger egg and a smaller egg in the pot at the same time, but I don't know that the smaller egg is going to be the one that has the blood spot. Maybe the larger egg is going to be the one that has the blood spot. So that's why they did three eggs. But even if it was just another egg that was larger, it would have been good enough. The Shach says that in Simon Samachbah, the Shach says that even one other egg, same size, is good enough. You don't need more than that. He says simple math. Even if the trefa egg is a jumbo egg, and the kosher egg is a medium egg, they don't come smaller than medium. Right? That's the inflation on eggs, right? The smallest you'll ever find is medium. Rav Shachtman told us many times that the reason you don't find small, and usually you can't find medium either, normally in the supermarket you'll find large, extra large, and jumbo. Those are the only three sizes. I always thought it was like, you know, it was like the class rankings that we used to have in DRS. There was regular honors, high honors, and so brilliant that whatever. Right? You know, so, but you know, because there's no one for the class of Shalom to be, you know, blow out of it, you know, so we just, starting point is different. So, so I always thought that they did the same thing with that, because it was just egg inflation. they took the teeny tiny eggs and they said, you're really medium. You know, and they feel good about yourself. You graduated. Okay, so, but Rosh Hashanah tells us that's not the way it was. That really the small eggs and the mostly medium eggs would be sold to to major bakeries, like Stella Dora or to whatever. You know, places that don't buy eggs by the numbers, they buy eggs by how many pounds of cracked eggs they're buying at one time. So that means people in supermarkets don't want teeny tiny eggs. They want, I would think some people would want. Some people would be like, oh, this is a new diet where you can have 3 egg omelets as long as they're in school. Oh my God. But apparently there's no market for it. But anyway, so you can have a jumbo egg that's trait, says the Shach, and a medium-sized egg that's kosher, and it's still fine, because the water in the pot is mitzari for the bittul. So you can be involved with the water in the pot. So that's, you know, a little bit. There's also discussion. I don't want to get too into it. There's a Yad Yehuda there, but we're not really learning some of something about right now, so I don't want to get too far into it. I Yad Yehuda Shah, you know. And then, of course, with the 3 eggs, some say, this whole thing is not halach. It's all about zugos. And it's all about, the 10th paragraph of Pesach, and the Gemara says that you shouldn't do things in pairs because there's going to be sakana. The Gemara says, why do we let them do dal and kosos? Let's do pairs of kosos. Oh, it's a mitzvah, protects us, and this and that. So there are some people that are very mocking, you know, then every 2 donuts, you got to eat 3, you know, in pairs of wedding. Yeah.
How come no one cares that the Shulchan Aruch says you need 61 and here he says 60?
Yeah, that's a good point also. I'm not sure. Do you talk about it? Does anyone ask about the page? Let's see.
It's command
off the page.
Is there a barrier comment off down here? Is there a job comment here?
There might be. Meaning, if it is a barrier, then you got to talk about why it would be butter. Unless you say it's very hot.
So back to closer to Hassar, that if you're ever serving something like hot out of the kitchen at the hotel, you should wait for it to cool down for the guests, because if they just mean it's kind of a line up.
You say, whenever you bring out a chow,
you have to show your meat to your guests, and it comes
right. If you have the veil.
I'm saying the veil would have fallen in, or something which would have fallen in.
Meaning, right, so
it was
not so practical.
Okay, but in any case,
I thought
that would be more.
Right.
But yeah,
anytime
which.
Yeah, it's hard. This is what it's saying, yeah, it's in a clear vision. There's a gigantic shach over here in this Ramah. We're not going to go through the shach, but the Rama writes, maybe just the very beginning of it. The Rama writes, "V'imlovas hakeinah le'iros on the karav v'nimtza achas mehen treta." Let's say the Rama talks about the diet, right? Mechaber talks about the diet. The Rama says, "And what if you did it, and then you found it one of them to be treta?" Yesh also not called the chashin and shema treta mishal of the sofel yeshish and veir levat and v'nas mashal veir because v'yosu chom mashal karav. You have to be choshesh that you have a problem. Unlike what the Taz was mitayin from the Mechaber. This is a classic example. Mechaber make the Rama Machmir. And then the Rama writes, V'yesh matirin b'kalimim, k'lo mechaskina nisu lomar d'nishar isu b'lo shishin. We don't know what really happened. We don't know if we've ever stayed there without shishin. So you're not going to just assume this here. And then the Rama writes, "V'chein eker, v'afilu das ha'osubin, that's our kelim sh'esbash, v'lo d'amid na'kli al'chas kasev." And for sure you're not going to drape up the kelim, because the kelim have the cheskes kashrus. So you don't want to drape up the kelim. So that's what the Rama writes. Now, the first opinion is the Riva. And the Riva holds its asur, because again, maybe it stayed in with less than shishin, and then it asur the rest of the eggs. And then those eggs are nasas nevela. And then those were poured into the rest of the eggs and asr all the rest of the eggs that were originally poured out. So that everything's gonna be asr. The second shita that the Rambam brings is Rabbi Shimshon, Allah tells us. The entire chash is a maybe. So if all of this is an isr drabbanan, it would certainly make sense to say something drabbanan lukula. The kunz of this shach is not just to be mevarich the two shitas in the Ramah, but what the shach tries to do is he tries to introduce us to a third shita, a shita of Rabbeinu Baruch, which maybe very briefly we'll mention. There's Rabbeinu Baruch who holds that it's mutter not only based on the cheskes heter, but even just from a very technical perspective. He says, granted, you have to be choshish to ask the last 20 or 30 that were there with the treif of fish and the treif of egg. We come up on the table below. With the shadarth lios harbi dag and ketam and the yishrov nevin osin shnesu. Ve einos shnesar b'chozim v'osin hashar b'n yosin. Kiva den yisur machin satsma and chozim v'osin below rota. He says, when those 20 or 30 that were left there with one treif of fish, then get mixed in with the other 200 that you already poured out, they become batim barov. You don't have shishim kenegda. You don't need shishim kenegda. The 20 or 30 that became us are both of rogues min b'mino. Even though one will forgive the other, they're not going to transmit blios without lotav. But if there's water left in the machbas, then the time transfers. And hakol asr aflor b'nei baruch, because it's mashal k'dei klima. So even though we're machmer b'dav shamei, that it can transfer without lotav, the entire thing over here is a sabik isr, so we're not going to say that by dav shamei. So essentially, what Rabbeinu Baruch is saying is that once those 20 or 30 become asr, they're not going to have the kavach to asr the rest. And when they get mixed in with the other 200 that you already poured out, they're going to become batal barov in the other 200, because they're not going to asr beyond what the blia of the original, because they're not an isr machmas atzma. Again, Rama concludes that the Isser is like the Mekilim, and the Taz wonders why the Rama is Mekil, and he thinks we should be Machner by eggs. In Torah's Chatas, Rama gives a different reason to be Mekil. We're out of time, so we're not going to get too much into Simchat Zayin, it's not so much the mice over here. But Ezra's Hashem, I forgot to mention, on Sunday I'm going to be in Chicago. So no shir on Sunday, whatever one of those reactions was. Right, so no shir on Sunday. On Monday, my plan is I want to start the class. The plan to Gadol was to continue doing Tarovis until Pesach, or until we take a Tepina, before Pesach probably, and then after Pesach we'll do Machaliyah. That's the plan to Gadol. Reminder, if anyone's interested here about the Sefer Torah issue, 2 o'clock, before the lecture. Thank you.